Joel chapter 2. We finished up chapter 1 on Sunday night, so we'll pick up tonight in Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. And what we're doing, just a quick reminder, I told you going through some of the verses, is there anything particular that stood out to you while we were reading? Anything that you noticed? It's a big change. We saw them in chapter 1 and the devastation and destruction that they brought. You see in chapter 2 how the Lord is going to reverse that and restore everything that they had taken from the people. Anything else? What's that? Yes, and God's blessing on them, his blessing on them when they do repent. Yeah, in the beginning of the chapter, especially where we're going to be studying tonight, we're going to be reading about prophecy, much like we did in the first chapter, a prophecy that has to do with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else? Just giving y'all opportunity to speak up if you want to. All right, we'll go ahead and get started here in chapter 2. And in the beginning of this chapter, the first 10 verses, what I believe Joel is prophesying about is the Lord's return, and more specifically, those who return with him at his second advent. And you can study other people and they would say something different, but that's my opinion. That's what I believe about this. I believe that this is a description of those that will return with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. And who would that be, by the way? That would be us's. See, we've been through this before, but just for the sake of reminding us, the Lord is going to come back and he's going to take his people, the church we call it, and the Bible calls it, out of this world, right? Amen. Y'all following with that? That's what we call the rapture. That's when Christ comes back in the clouds and he calls us up to meet him in the air. And that'll be for the saints that are still living at the time and also those that have passed on. We go up at the rapture, then begins the period of time we refer to as the tribulation. And then at the end of that, you have the second advent of the Lord Jesus, which is called by some the revelation. You have the rapture at the beginning, the revelation at the end. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ actually comes back down to this earth. At the rapture, he doesn't come back down to the earth per se. He's up in the clouds and we're called up to meet him. But at the revelation, the second advent, he actually comes back down to this earth. But we go up with him at the rapture. Amen? Amen. We go up with him at the rapture, so we're not here for the tribulation. Thank God. We don't have to go through the tribulation. We may have to go through some tribulation if it's like a lot of people say, and we're facing the judgment seat of Christ there in heaven while the tribulation is going on down here on the earth, then we might have to go through some tribulation, but it won't be tribulation down here. It'll just be what we have to go through at the judgment seat while the Lord's dealing with us about our lives as Christians and how we live. But at the end of that 7 years, the Lord comes back to this earth. And who's going to come back with him? We are. The saints of God are going to come back with him. Let me show you just a few verses. Go over to the New Testament, to the book of Jude. Jude is the little book right before the book of Revelation. It's important that you understand that there is the rapture and then there's the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Because if you don't understand that there is a difference between those two comings, then there's going to be some passages in the Bible. In fact, a lot of passages in the Bible that you are going to seriously misinterpret. You'll be taking things that have to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ, which happens at the end of the tribulation, and you'll be applying them to the rapture. And you'll get a whole bunch of stuff mixed up and confused and all out of whack. So it's important that you understand. You could say it like this: His second coming. I mean, we've already had the first coming of the Lord. We're going to celebrate that this Sunday, December 25th. We're going to celebrate the first time that He came. You could say His second coming is in two phases. You got the rapture, and then you got the revelation, separated by a period of time of about 7 years. And they're two completely different things. Okay? So you gotta make sure you have that understanding, or you'll get a whole lot of stuff confused and mixed up. And what we're going to be talking about, and what the prophets of the Old Testament talked about, was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation. Anyway, Jude chapter 4, y'all got it? If you got Jude chapter 4, something's wrong. Got a messed up Bible somewhere. Anyway, look at verse 14, Jude verse 14. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So do you think every word in the Bible is important? Every word. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Y'all remember Enoch? He prophesied, believe it or not, all those years ago, Enoch prophesied about the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh, notice, with 10,000s of his saints. It doesn't say that the Lord cometh for 10,000s of his saints. That would be the rapture. At the rapture, he comes for the saints, right? Some of y'all looking at me like you're confused. We need to be clear about this. That's right. It's like this. He comes for the saints at the rapture. He comes with the saints at the revelation. You understand that? I'm not trying to confuse you. I just want you to understand this. Well, the ones that have died, their souls will return and they'll get a new body because their bodies will be resurrected at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We won't prevent those that have already died. You understand? Or did I confuse you? Yeah, they'll come with him in the sense that their soul will come back with him up there, and then that body will come up, and they'll get their new body then. But this is, verse 14 and 15. Here's another way that you know this is not talking about the rapture. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, comma, to do what? When he comes at the rapture, he's not coming to execute judgment at that time, is he? So this ain't the rapture here. When he comes to execute judgment, that's at the revelation at the end. So he comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment, look upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. The ungodly are going to be dealt with. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, they're going to get judgment. They're going to be judged. But what I'm showing you here, verse 14 and 15, that's not the rapture. He's not coming for the saints. He's coming with the saints. And they're going to come back, and they're going to execute judgment. Now, Joel chapter 2, in the beginning of this chapter, I believe is a description of the Lord's army that's going to come with him, when he comes back to this earth. Revelation chapter 19 is, and let's just for the sake of seeing this, look at that before we actually get started here. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of a foundation for this thing here. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus, capital F, capital T. And in righteousness, look at it, he doth judge. We just saw in Jude where it says to execute judgment. It says, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Well, that's not the rapture, okay? The rapture, he comes, he calls us out, that's it. The revelation, he comes back with his saints, he comes back in righteousness to judge and to make war. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he showed up, he came, he was meek, he was lowly. You know, he come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He let people spit in his face and mock him and crucify him and do horrible things to him and say horrible things about him down through the years. Now, he has continued to allow people to, as Jude says, say ungodly things about him and blaspheme him. But one day he's going to take care of all of that. The next time he comes down here to this earth, he's not going to come back meek and lowly riding on a donkey. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back to make war. He's not coming back to bring peace. Now, there will be peace, but it'll be after the war. Be after the war. When he makes right everything that's all wrong and fouled up, then there'll be peace because the Prince of Peace will be here. But you see it, he's going to make war. And then look down at verse 14. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So when he comes back at that second advent, and he's got some armies that are with him. And who are these people? They're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Well, look at verse 7. Verse 7, 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, who is that? The wife, the bride of Christ, the saved people. Now, look at it, verse 8. And to her, that's his wife, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. See that? See what his wife is wearing? What she gets? Fine linen, clean and white. What's the army's wearing? Fine linen, white and clean. Y'all see that? So, anyway, go back to Joel chapter 2. I believe verses 1 to 10 in this chapter describe us. That's what I believe it's talking about. The saved people that will come back with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns in this earth. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. The alarm is to let everybody know that something's fixing to happen. It's to let them know that really that destruction is headed their way, because that's what's going to happen. Let all the inhabitants of the land, look at it, tremble. Tremble. Doesn't say let all the inhabitants of the land be happy and rejoice. Let them all tremble. Why do you tremble? Well, generally, you tremble because you're scared. So he says, sound the alarm, blow the trumpet. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble because the Lord's coming with his army. Verse 1, for the day of the Lord cometh. Remember we talked last time about the day of the Lord? For it is nigh at hand. Look at this. And this shows you again that the day of the Lord, it's not the rapture, because it is said to be a day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of darkness and of gloominess. We just had a couple of those the last 2 days, didn't we? You know, Monday and Tuesday, it was just kind of gloomy out. The sun wasn't shining. And notice it says a day of darkness. Generally, when it's daytime, it's not dark, right? The sun's shining and it's light, but you have those days where it's real cloudy and it just sort of looks dark outside. And he says that's the way the day of the Lord is. It's a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. You've seen those shows where that stuff hangs over them mountains, those clouds just hang over those mountains. A great people and a strong. And really and truly, this is my opinion here, I believe reading stuff like this right here ought to excite you, because you're reading about you. You. This is you in your glorified body when you come back with Jesus Christ at the revelation. See, we get our new body at the rapture, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't mean to be discouraging in what I'm about to say, but, you know, you hear people all the time preaching and talking about how when somebody passes now, that they just go up to heaven, they get their new body. Well, that really ain't right, okay? That's not exactly biblical. They do go up to heaven, but according to the scriptures, at the rapture that you actually get your new body, your glorified body. And then when we come back in our glorified body, and you're reading about you. You know what what we're going to be? Verse 2, a great people and a strong. Won't be any weakness. We're going to be a great people and a strong. Look at this. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Going to be a bunch of people show up down here like had never been here before. That's us. The tribulation is going to be a time like never has been or ever shall be. And that thing is going to end with a group of people showing up on this earth like never has been or ever shall be. That's us. We come back with our new body, glorified, with the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth in front and behind. Remember we talked about the fire, verse 19 and 20 of the previous chapter, and I took you and showed you some verses of scripture that shows when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he's just going to burn the place up. Well, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, in front of them. It's beautiful, like the Garden of Eden. But when they pass through with the Lord, and behind them a desolate wilderness. He says, yea, and nothing shall escape them. When he passes through, it's just everything there is burned up. People, animals, plants, whatever, it's just burned up. It's gone when they pass through. Verse 4, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Remember we saw where it said in Revelation 19 that when the Lord comes back, he's going to be on a white horse, and it says that the armies of heaven followed him on white horses? The appearance of them shall be as horses, as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen shall they run. And that sounds like they're going to be able to run like horsemen. Isn't that what it says? And as horsemen shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. That's us leaping on mountains. Now listen, folks. We've watched so much junk, so much garbage that ain't real, that when you read something like this, you think, well, you know, that ain't really going to happen. Well, it really is going to happen. In our glorified body, we're going to be some kind of awesome. You know what I'm talking about? That's a word that gets thrown out, you know, so-and-so's awesome. Well, you take the very best this world has to offer, and there's nothing upside this bunch of people that's going to show up down here. They really are going to be awesome. We really are going to be awesome. Just jumping from mountain to mountain. Do you remember how Jesus was whenever he came up in his glorified body, what you read in the New Testament, the things that those writers wrote about him? How his disciples were there in a room with the doors shut, and he just showed up in there. He didn't even have to open the door. He just shows up in there. He shows up in the room, and then when he gets ready to leave, he just leaves. He don't open the door and leave. He just leaves. And remember how he could be somewhere, like he's there with them two guys on the road to Emmaus talking with them, and after he reveals himself, he's just gone. The Bible said he just vanished out of their sight. And he shows up somewhere else, just like that. He's just here and then he's gone. It's amazing the things that you read about him. And doesn't the Bible say that we're going to be partakers of his glory? Isn't that what it says? And that we are going to have our vile body changed like unto his glorious body? All that stuff you read about that glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get one of those one day. You're going to get a body that can just be right here. Have you ever started out on a trip? I've said this 1,000 times. Start out on a trip, you know, big long trip off somewhere, and said to whoever was with you, man, I wish I could just snap my fingers and be there. Well, guess what? When you get a new body, you can just snap your fingers and be there. You're just going to be able to go and come and be here and be gone. It's just going to be awesome. And I mean, it really is. A immortal, incorruptible body that's just absolutely wonderful. So when it's talking here in this passage about, you know, running like a horse and leaping on the mountains, that's not exaggerating things. That's reality, the way it's going to be. You're going to be, you know, you get these superheroes, Superman and all that kind of stuff. Well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the real Superman. And we're going to have supernatural abilities when we come back. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. As we're leaping along on those mountains going through the land, it's going to sound like the noise of chariots is what it's talking about. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. Have you heard that before? When a fire burns through dried grass, the sound that it makes, what a noise that makes. That's what we're going to sound like as we're going through, because what does it say in verse 3? A fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burning. So it's going to sound like a flame or a fire burning through stubble as we go through the land, because there is a fire. It's burning everything up. Look, verse 5. As a strong people set in battle array. We're coming back to make war with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's coming. We just saw it. To make war. We're his army. Look at verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. We're talking about the Lord's army here. And you're going to be in it if you're saved. One of them. Coming back with him. Before their face the people shall be much pained. They're going to have a lot of pain. All faces shall gather blackness. Why? Well, doesn't it say, we just read it again, verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. It says at the end of verse 3, and nothing shall escape them. One reason why the people's faces might gather blackness is because they're being burnt up. We're talking about the enemies of God here. The rebellious, stubborn, wicked, ungodly people who refused every opportunity that was afforded them to get saved and get right with the Lord. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? The end shall be death, destruction, and the lake of fire. That's what it'll be. Those that are alive and on this earth at the second advent will receive judgment. I'm talking about swift and immediate judgment right then. Burn up by the Lord. The old adage or expression we use, out of the frying pan and into the fire. They're going to get burnt up here, and then what's going to happen? Just go right into hell. I think this is, It's leading up to that, headed in that direction. That's what it is. Going through the land in that direction. Verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. Michael Jordan. Who's that? Not Michael Jordan, that was a basketball player. Hussein Bolt. Yeah, that's a dude, running fella, yeah. He ain't going to be nothing. They shall run like mighty men. What a blessing it's going to be to have a body like this. Just to leave all this weakness and frailty, this vileness behind, and actually have a body that is supernatural. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Forget going through the gate. Just climb over the wall. Just go over the wall. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Everybody's going to stay where they're supposed to be. Not going to break the ranks. You ain't going to have cowards running, leaving. Nobody breaks the ranks. They stay right where they're supposed to. Neither shall one thrust another. Nobody's going to die by friendly fire. You know, I'm not going to be stabbing anybody that's going to do that. They shall walk every one in his path. In his path. The path that he's supposed to walk in. That's where he's going to walk. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. How about that? That's obviously something that's supernatural, because if you fall on a sword now, it will wound you. Right? Wound you. If somebody stabs you, it's not even going to hurt you, is the idea. Don't do anything to you. No wound. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. What you got, the picture to me in my mind is just of a great and awesome army of people that just come through the land, just taking over the place. Just bringing destruction and going in and doing whatever it is they're supposed to do, just killing people. I mean, that, you know, that sounds rough. And you know, today people try to brainwash us into thinking things that are not right. But here's the thing. You may live down here your whole life and never get in a skirmish or a fight or do anybody any damage, but one day you're going to hurt some people. That's hard for some of you ladies in here to swallow, isn't it? You know, Miss Rouse likes that. She wants to fight somebody. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Behold, I come as a thief"? That's what he said. Just march through. Yep. All over. Nobody's going to be able to get away. Nobody's going to be able to hide from them. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And we're going to look later on, verses 30 and 31 on down in this chapter, but that shows you. This is obviously about a time yet to come. The moon shall be dark and the stars shall withdraw their shining. We're going to stop here because of time. And I'm going to go back next time maybe to verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to try to make some practical application from those verses. Any questions about what we looked at here tonight? Yes, sir. No, you can't ask a question, Brother Ralph.